Welcome back, everyone, to After Hours, Let's Talk. This is the space where we come when the world finally gets quiet, when the masks come off, when the noise fades, when the question gets louder. Tonight's episode is for anyone who has ever looked at their life and thought, why does it feel like I keep starting over? Why does healing hurt? Why do I still feel unfinished? Why do I feel broken? But what if you're not broken? What if you're becoming? Tonight's conversation is called We Are Not Broken, We Are Becoming. I'm your host, Shorty For Real, and tonight we'll be joined by someone who understands transformation, identity, and the unseen process of growth in a very real way. We are joined by Randy Bishop, and this is not a conversation about fixing yourself. This is a conversation about understanding yourself. So grab a seat, grab something to drink, and let's dive deep into this conversation. But first, we're going to go into our what's on your mind tonight. And our listener wrote in, I feel like I keep shedding versions of myself. Old dreams, old relationships, old identities. Sometimes I wonder if I'm failing or if I'm just changing. Why does becoming feel like loss? And for me, I think that as we transition through life, as we get older, as we start aging and going to different stages of our life, we are essentially shedding old parts of ourselves so that new parts can grow and flourish within us so that we are able to I want to say that it's a transformation. We take the things that we've learned, we take the things that we've gone through, and we're able to work that into our new life and our aging. So I was told about every 10 years, you become a new person. You're not the same person that you were 10 years ago. And that just comes from growth. So embrace it, enjoy it. Know that just because you feel like you're losing yourself, you're not. You're actually enhancing yourself and you're growing and you're learning to be a better version of yourself, a new person. And you're able to put what you've learned into action now and grow. So, Randy, would you like to say something to our listener?
Sure, I'd love to. I think it feels like you're shedding something because you really are. I mean, I think you're progressing from one place to another. What I talk about oftentimes is simply always having to go back to our past, not to dwell there, but to look at what you learned, what you did, what you believed, what you said, and just ask if it still applies. We all grow. We're all still becoming something else, growing into who we are. And maybe there's just things that no longer serve you at this stage in life. And if so, it definitely feels like you're shedding something. Absolutely.
Yes. Thank you. All right, you guys. We want to welcome Randy into the After Hours Lounge officially. So we welcome you in. I'm so happy to have you here. I know this conversation is going to be wonderful. If you don't mind introducing yourself to our audience and let them know who you are.
Well, thanks, Shorty. It's great to be here. Thank you for letting me come on and chat a little bit with you and discuss one of the, I think, most important topics as we age and maybe even should be discussed more when we're younger so that we're prepared for it. I think that rather than get bombarded later, maybe it's something we should be discussing at an earlier age. Nonetheless, my name is Randy E. Bishop. That I use my middle initial normally, especially when I write. I've written a book called The Re Method. It is a framework to becoming. What happens is I believe that we think that we're broken. And I think that we think we need fixed. And I went through a process where I didn't know what was next, didn't know why we were where we were. Why am I here? And so my process just really became my book. My process became what I do now. And but I've done so many things in life. I've been a musician and a singer-songwriter. I've been a minister in a church, a father, husband, grandfather now, because I'm a little older, or a lot older, depending on how you look at it. But now really the work I do is this right here, just helping everyone understand that we're not broken. We are becoming. I think that process continues through our life. So that's just a little bit about me.
Awesome. Wonderful. And congratulations. Grandkids are fun, I hear.
Yeah, I have four.
Nice. All right. So this, we are not broken, we are becoming. I feel like we definitely need to talk about this when we're younger. As you said, I think we should start preparing our children for the changes that will happen and how to be able to navigate through those things as they come upon them. I mean, we all have to try to figure out life at some point on our own, you know, because it is a part of creating our own identity and who we are and finding who we are and things like that. So it's definitely a part where we do have to work on just identifying ourselves. But I think a lot of people sometimes get very lost, like our listener, you know, they feel like it's something that's bad and it's not. You know, it's something that's unhealthy for them and they don't understand it. And I think that we need to normalize and making sure that people understand that change is, it's not always bad. Change is something that can be wonderful, depending on how you're changing. You know, are you changing in a good way to better yourself, or are we going down a bad road here? Do we need to make some transitions to get back into a good space? So do you want to explain a little bit more about how you got into this process of the becoming?
Yeah, let me just take you back to my beginning. I mean, throughout my life, I'm actually a lot like the listener who asked this question. I felt like I've gone from one thing to another and seemed like I was transitioning all the time. And I did really stop and ask myself, really, is this who I am? Really? I've enjoyed life. I'm not going to sit around and say I haven't enjoyed the things I've done. It's been great. But all of a sudden, it was Easter of 2025 last year. I woke up 4 o'clock in the morning and I was just, I guess the word would be disappointed, distraught. I just went, really? Is this it? The culmination of the way I feel, the way I think, where I'm at. You know, and I don't want to throw anyone under the bus because, you know, people in my life, my relationships, my families, my friends, sometimes they always think I'm talking about them. It really had nothing to do with anyone but me just saying, is this it? Is this it? And so I got up, I got out of bed, I went to the kitchen table, and I just started this process to tear apart who I am, to tear apart why I am the way I am and who I think I am. And it wasn't an easy process, but it was a process that I ended up really basically writing down and creating the book, The Re Method, because what I ended up doing was saying, what have I believed that I am? What do I believe in? What do I think about? What's my experiences and what did it teach me? What choices have I made and where did they lead me? And did they lead me where I thought they were going to?
Right.
And then I realized that really what I was doing was reflecting. So I'm just giving you the outline to my book. I was reflecting on my past. I wasn't spending inordinate amounts of time doing that. I was just thinking about this part and going, that doesn't fit me. Wow, I don't really feel that way. Mm-hmm. And realized that I had been operating under all these things for so long. And probably the way I would sum it up is I was living the life everyone else wanted me to.
Right.
And right. I think that's what people really get stuck. They maybe go, okay, well, I'll change maybe this one thing because I'm living what somebody else wants me to do. So the next process really was to say, okay, well, if I don't think that, then how do I think? What do I think about? And then I just started to reframe those perspectives and reframe those beliefs and decided to make them empowering ones. How do I take this and make it something that benefits? And then I just set on the journey to restore who I am. And that's when I really decided I am not broken. I am not. I'm just simply becoming. I don't have right. to be fixed. I don't have anything broken. I don't have anything so terrible about me. I just need to line myself up to who I am line my beliefs up, know who I am, and then line up my actions to match those. We say alignment. You've probably heard that word a lot thrown around. Really, it's just lining up what you believe to who you're being and what you're becoming and what your actions are. So then it just was a matter for me of writing it in a book and going, this is my work. This is what I'm going to do. I have sought somebody to help me understand something, and I'm just going to be out there and help people do that. So that's where it came from. It's just a lifetime of getting to that point and going, really? Is this who I am?
Right. Absolutely. I feel like a lot of us do that, though. We are living a life that others want us to live. We're a lot of us are people pleasers. We want to be able to make everybody happy. You know, we want to do what others want, especially the people that we care about and love and don't want to feel disappointed by. You know, we don't want them to feel disappointed in us. So we tend to do the things that others want us to do to make them happy. And we're not really making ourselves happy, and we're not really living in our truth. Of who we really are.
At the end of the day, let me tell you, Shorty, my mother is 85, and I talk to her once a week, if not several times. And I was just having a conversation with her, and I said, Mom, at the end of the day, when I'm at the end of my life, and I'm reflecting back on everything I've been and everything I've thought and everything I've said and everybody I've loved and everybody I've touched and whatever I've done, if I sit around and go, wow, I made everyone happy, but I haven't been authentically me, then what really was my life worth? Because shouldn't I be giving the world, my family, my friends, my loved ones, shouldn't I be giving them all of who I am, not just all of what's expected? Doesn't the world need authentically you, Shorty? Doesn't the world need me? Not some version of me that they want to make me into. Depending, you know, who knows what anybody thinks. If you're a person of faith, in some faith, you believe in a creator. And maybe your creator wants you to be you, not someone else's version of you. And at the end of the day, even if you don't believe that, isn't it most important just to be who you are? I just think that's very important, but we're not really taught to think that way. We go to school and we're told to follow these rules. And if we follow these rules, we'll make this amount of money and do this kind of job. We'll have 2.2 kids once we get married. I mean, all of these things are defined for us.
Right. Our life is pretty much mapped out in this. If you do this, 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 and this, and you can have all these things and you'll be so happy. But no one really teaches you to just be yourself, be who you are, and love yourself. I mean, I think it's more of just loving who you are authentically. Like, I have learned to love every weird and quirky thing about me. And good. And I'm like, if you don't like it, then okay, I guess maybe you weren't meant to be in my world or whatever, you know, because I want to be purely who I am. This is who I am. And these are the things that make me happy. These are the things that I like to do. I think learning how to make people happy through the things that make you happy should be the way that things are taught, not doing what others want you to do and creating this world of how they want to see you. Because I feel like when people do that, they're living out their life and what they wanted to do through you. So they want to see you do all these things that they weren't able to do. But if I can make you happy through the things that make me happy, then I think I've won, because I'm still being true to myself. But I've also was able to make you happy and smile. Like, I've kept a person in my life that loves me for me, and they accept me for me, and they're happy with me no matter what I do, you know?
Good. Well, I tell you what, I think two things. Boy, I've got my mind is going down so many paths right now. There's two things I wanted to say. One is, I have one friend who keeps telling me, dear friend, I'm not sure you would like my quirks. You don't really want to know my quirks. And I continue to say, I think I have the capacity to love you for who you are and appreciate your quirks. I think that's fine. I mean, I'm not afraid to let you know my quirks. In fact, I'll go ahead and give you a list. Okay. Mm. But then I have another friend, and he has absolutely no problem. About two of them. I have two friends who have no problem just living out loud and letting you know everything quirky about them. Mm-hmm. And I just find it very interesting that I have these different friendships. You know, one who is just like, hey, this is me. Take me or leave me. This is what I do. This is who I am. And then another one, I don't think you could handle me. And I'm like, no, let me try. I mean, it'd be fun. Let's try this. You know, be authentically you. I'm constantly saying, please be authentically you. I really want to know you. I'm going to let you know me.
Right.
And hopefully that will let you come out. Now, the other thing I was going to say was, because you touched on this about how we become people that others expect us to be. This is one of the reasons I think it's important to go back and start this process in younger years, because I think that what has happened, and I know that I watched it when I was in high school, parents live vicariously through their children.
Yes.
And so now dad, who was the high school football star, pushes a son to be the high school football star. And the son's afraid to go, you know, I just want to paint.
Right.
You know,
yes.
Hey, dad, I don't really like football. I like basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, whatever. So, but the son trying to please the father or whatever, starts to pigeonhole himself. And the dad makes it seem like that's the job. Your job is to do this, son, you know? And I'm not saying that we shouldn't encourage our kids to maybe try something hard and push them. I'm not by no means faulting any parent. But I remember telling my kids as they were growing, my job is to prepare you for freedom. My job is to prepare you. I know that you don't like the guardrails and the rules that I set down, but trust me, little by little, I'm widening this road.
Right.
So that eventually you don't have any guardrails and life's yours. Go create. Go be who you are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see a lot of parents doing that. I don't see a lot of people encouraging, especially our younger folks, you know, our kids as they're growing, be authentically who you are, you know? Be who you are. Don't apologize for it, you know? And just continue becoming, because that's our best life, just becoming. And I'm going to continue to do that. And I hope you continue to do that. And I hope our listener continues to do that. Don't worry about shedding this skin or shedding that skin. You're just becoming the next version of yourself. 2.0, 3.0. It's okay.
Yes, it's fine. Absolutely. That is. And I'm glad you said that, you know, because I think that's where it actually starts, with us feeling how we do as we get older, you know, not being very fulfilled as children, trying to please our parents and the things that they want us to do. And I'm very big on allowing my kids to do, like, it's okay to encourage your kids, but to force them to do things and they don't really want to do it. And you see, like, at some point you can tell, like, this is something that they really don't want to do, or this is not making them very happy, or things like that. Like, it's not paying attention because this is something that we want for our kids and we want them to do, and we feel like this will be the best for them. But we do have to give our children the space to grow and experience things and figure out what it is that they like and want to do. I let my kids do so much. My daughter crochets right now. She loves crochet.
Nice.
We go to the yarn store. We go buy all types of yarn and hooks and everything else. She's 9, you know, but she loves to do it.
That's great.
She has gotten into so many different things, and I let her experiment with it. You know, she's very wishy-washy right now, but, you know, I'm like, she's 9 though. As she gets older, new things are going to come into her sight, and she's going to want to try this. She might be into this right now, but as she gets a little older, this might be something she no longer wants to do, and she's found something else that interests her. But if I try to force her to stick with something that she no longer has interest in, she's not going to want to do it, and it's going to cause a rebellion. And I noticed that it does cause a rebellion sometimes.
Well, it's exactly the same idea. Is how many times, like I just said, how many times do we look and go, what do I believe, or what am I doing that doesn't fit me anymore? It's okay. I often go to one of the questions at the end of every chapter. I have a few questions to make you think about what I just said. My book's only 100 pages and it's really big type. I tried not to make this hard because I don't think the process should be. I think the process should be bite size, one little thing at a time. That's the other thing. Last night I was talking on a podcast, and we got to talking about things, and I said, listen, the reason I think people struggle with transition and becoming is because they think it has to all happen at a time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's because fast food. Now, just let me run with this. Okay. When I was a kid, fast food was a few places. Now there's fast food every few blocks.
Yeah.
And you can stop and just order and in a couple minutes get food. Whereas 100 years ago, food was a process. Mm-hmm. You didn't get food. You didn't get fed. You didn't eat quickly. So we've just gotten accustomed to the faster, the faster, the faster, the faster. And not everything can go fast. And right. So one piece at a time builds a cake, you know? But one of the things in one of my chapters, I say this one every podcast I'm on. One question I asked, that I just thought it was important, and I say it all the time. What belief do I keep acting on that might no longer serve me? It might be a wonderful belief, but if it doesn't hold any power, if it doesn't hold any motivation for you, it's okay to say, I'm not dealing with this anymore. I'm going to change it. Or how do I change it to motivate me better? How does it now fit me? If it doesn't, what am I going to replace it with? But we don't go through that process. We don't shed that skin, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
We don't do that, but we should. We should. That helps us become, because what we end up feeling is we're broken. We end up feeling like we're failing the test of life because we're not fulfilling this thing and this thing and this thing from our past that don't even have any bearing on today for us.
Right. Holding on to things that no longer serve a purpose. In our current life. Yeah. That's a good question to ask. You know, I think a lot of times we need to slow down. Our world has gotten so fast. So everything's just so quick and we expect things to happen right now, right this moment. And we forget that things take time. Sometimes some things require time. Some things require process. Everything can't come to you quickly and it requires some work to get it. So being able to slow down, think about what it is that you need in your life, what no longer serves you, like you said. I think even if it is something you want to hold on to, figuring out a way how you can make it serve you now. But
exactly.
I think we have a hard time letting go.
You think so?
A hard time letting go of things.
Just take a look at our closets, right?
Yes.
Just take a look at the closet. That's all you need to know. How many things are in our closet that we no longer wear?
Right. Right.
How many pieces of clothing in the month do you actually wear? How many are hanging in our closet or stuffed into a drawer? And then you start to understand, if that's the way we treat our clothing on our body, what are we doing inside?
Right. Right. Exactly. Mine is cluttered and full of unnecessary things. That is just driving us crazy.
I love clothes. I can only wear one walking t-shirt at a time, but I've got 7 colors and I've got 21 of them. You know, I mean, I'm the same way. But the bottom line is I try to keep them organized then, at least so that I can find things. Again, we're not really taught to keep our inner person organized. You know, okay. It's like we stuff all this stuff in. And we're just supposed to figure it out. And I think we should be intentional. And I'm not trying to tell anybody, because I'm terrible at it. I'm not trying to tell everybody to spend 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours a day doing something. You know, just spend a few minutes. Okay. In fact, just this morning, and this is God's honest truth, I was standing in front of the mirror just telling myself some things I knew I needed to do. And if I don't sit there for a couple minutes and just look myself in the eye, and that's hard to do. If you've never done it, get in front of a mirror and stare. You usually look at your nose or your forehead or your cheek.
Right. But
stare yourself. Look at your eye color, man. I'm sitting there going, wow, my eyes are really brown. I didn't realize how deep they were. But stare yourself in the eye and start talking to yourself. You know, sometimes nobody else will.
That's
true. And just, hey, what am I going to believe here? What am I going to do here? How are you going to act right now? How are you going to take care of this situation? And just have a conversation with yourself. I've started to do it. It's probably something I do every 3 days because I just feel like this is a good thing. You know, I don't sit in there for 1 hour. I just kind of give myself that pep talk right eye to eye with Randy. And I just go, this is something you need to know. This is something you need to do. And again, I'm not telling everybody they need to follow my thing. Maybe it's not that way for you, but maybe just a few minutes of intentional consideration for what's inside of you and what you're about to do with it make the world a difference, and you're becoming who you really are.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I'm glad you said that because I do that all the time. I've been doing it ever. First, I thought I was crazy because I'm like, I'm always talking to myself.
Well, I think there is a difference between talking to yourself intentionally and just rambling. But
but it used to always be with a purpose. I always self-motivated myself and gave myself a pep talk and, you know, had to let myself know some hard truths and like, listen, you know. So I think that is a great idea for people. You know, it does not have to be long. I don't sit and have hours and hours of conversations with myself, but I do allow myself to tell myself what I need to hear, whether it's hard or whether it's good, and just reflect on things that are going on and kind of, you know, draft out what it is that I need to do, how to get where I need to be or what it is I need to do today. And I think a small step is just focusing on today. Just focus on today. What is it that you need today to make you feel better and move into the right direction today? Because you do have to take it one step at a time, guys. You're not going to fix it overnight. It's not going to be something that's going to happen today. So
let me just add into that. One of the things that someone might actually need is just to give themselves permission. Yes. Sometimes you just need to tell yourself, it's okay to be this way. It's okay to think this way. You know, I mean, like guys, for instance, okay. And I'm number three in the birth order, and I'm my mother and my family, they'll even say it. Well, we know you're the tender one. You're the tender one. You're the tender one. I hate that phrase, but I am. But I can cry out, you know, drop of a hat. But sometimes I need to stand there and look at myself and tell me it's okay. It's okay to be who you are. Be authentic. It's okay. And if you feel deeply about it, Randy, go ahead and cry. I know you hate crying. I have a friend of mine, I constantly say, I just wish I was a grrr kind of a guy. I'm not. So I have to stand there and tell myself, you don't have to be that guy. You can be authentically who you are. And sometimes that permission can go a long way, you know?
It does. Yes. We definitely need to give ourselves permission to do things that we need to do for ourselves and to accept ourselves, you know? Yes, definitely.
Oh, no
accept
doubt.
Ourselves. So yes, tell yourself it's okay. You are who you are. Then that's all right. It's okay. There's people in this world that will love you for exactly who you are and everything that comes along with you.
Exactly.
All right, you guys. So we're going to go into our quote of the night here. And tonight's quote states, you are not falling apart. You are falling into alignment with who you were always meant to become. So you guys, let that sit with you. You are not falling apart. You are falling into alignment with who you are always meant to become. So
yeah,
take that with you. Let that resonate with you. Write that down. Put it on your mirror every day. When you wake up in the morning, you see that you are becoming who you were always supposed to be. And that's okay. Everything that you go through in life is a stepping stone to help shape you and mold you into the person that you are. So allow yourself to be molded, allow yourself to be sculpted, and take the chisel and create who you want to be. Because it is your journey and it is your personality. It is who you are. So make sure you're doing the molding and the sculpting and not allowing outside people and outside voices to taint and mess up your masterpiece. All right?
Wow. And
do you like to add anything to that, Randy?
Oh, I'd say a big amen to that. That was awesome. I liked that. I like the chisel part. That was wonderful. Yeah, because it's about becoming who we are and being authentic and just letting yourself make yourself. It's a great line. I love it.
Absolutely. All right, you guys. So we want to thank Randy for joining us tonight. We really appreciate you. It has been a very wonderful conversation. We hope to have you again one day soon. And you guys, just always remember that you don't have to rush your becoming. Don't shame your process. Don't call transformation a failure. You're not broken, you're becoming. And that is something that we all are doing every single day. So take a deep breath, breathe, relax, and always remember that the night has something to say. And until next time, you guys, we'll see you later.